everyone. Welcome to What I Listen To This Week. We're back for another episode. This is Melanie here with Sergio, and we have a new panelist today. John is here, and it's just the three of us today, but that's okay because we have some fresh blood, so we're excited to jump in. And we will get to an icebreaker in a second, but before we do, we thought we'd have John kind of give a quick little intro because he's new to the podcast and new to the format. So you guys don't know him yet, so we figured, you know.
Mystery guest.
Yeah, so go ahead. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. I am John Williams. I'm not the John Williams.
Womp womp.
But yeah. So hey, I have most John Williamses out there are bad. The police have come looking for me because of that name. But anyway, I taught at Boulder High for 27 years, and I'm retired. I retired in 2015. I became a member here at LPM last summer. So I've been doing different things here with LPM, working on short film nights and just kind of trying to get involved, help out different filmmakers and just having a good time working with all different creators and meeting all the crazy people.
Awesome.
Cool. All right. So since you're a new guy, you get to bring the icebreaker for this week. So what is our icebreaker?
All right. Today's icebreaker is something strange that happened to you at a concert that you told your friends about. So
you can go first, or you can pick who goes first.
Anyway, I'll just let you guys jump in simultaneously, please.
I'll go.
Okay. Maybe Sergio goes. So
it's something strange that maybe I did.
Oh, that's even better.
Is that better?
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great.
So this was in college. I studied abroad in Vienna, Austria. Had a lot of good friends, a lot of fun times, as you can imagine. Ended up going to some concert. I don't know who it was or whatever. It didn't matter. Completely hammered. And there is this person wearing a panda, not a hoodie, like a cap or like a winter hat. And it looked awesome. And I like wanted it so bad. And it had like, you know, like the ears. And so I was like trying to come up with a strategy of how I can take it away from them.
Oh, no.
So I kind of just snuck up behind this person and just yanked it just really quickly, just and flung it to the back of the room. And, you know, this person was like, oh my fuck, like what the fuck? And, you know, I just pretended like I had no idea. And then I went and picked it up at the end of the show and had this little panda like winter hat. And then the next day I lost it somewhere. I'd never know where it is. Yeah, so that's my weird story.
Wow. Okay, so don't wear any like cool hat wear when I go to a show with Sergio if he's drinking heavily. Yeah. Okay, so my sort of funny story related to a concert. I was in high school, and I was going to see Jamie Cullum, who I've played on this podcast before a couple episodes ago. But I was going to see him at the Paradise, I think. And I was with my buddy and his dad because we were like young enough where we weren't going to like a concert by ourselves. Yeah, I think I was like a freshman or a sophomore in high school. Either of us had a license. But his dad had a Saab convertible. And so it was like really nice out. And I remember we were driving, trying to find parking in downtown Boston. So we weren't driving very fast. Obviously, not that you're going to drive fast in Boston anyway, but we weren't driving very fast. But we had the top down, and the Jamie Cullum's music was, we were like blasting it, right? Because we were like amping ourselves up for the show. And it was also because I didn't really know him at the time. And so my friend was like, oh, I'm going to play this music for you so that you know who he is when we go to the show. And we're like blasting this music and like rocking out as we're trying to find parking. And we look over the sidewalk and it's Jamie Cullum and his bassist and his drummer are like walking on the sidewalk, just staring at us. And we were like, oh my God, like we just, and we were like so embarrassed. But then at the same time, you're like, oh, it's fine. Like, that's really cool. Like, we got to pass them. But we were, like, mortified in the moment because we were, like, rocking out and they're just watching us, like, acting like fools in this convertible as we're trying to find parking for their show. But that was, like, a weird, random, funny concert story.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Did they recognize you from the stage when they looked out there?
I don't think so. No, I don't. Yeah. There's that little girl and, like, her friend's dad and her. And her, yeah, no, it's just, no, they didn't. But I remember just being, like, both simultaneously thinking it was cool, but also being very embarrassed, which is, like, most of your, like, early teen years, I think.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, mine about, I mean, maybe 15, 17 years ago, was a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young reunion tour. And Neil Young was with them. And it was at Red Rocks. And we went with a bunch of friends. And we were sitting way pretty much up top. And then we had some other friends that were down in aisle, row 5. And in Red Rocks, the difference between, like, row 5 and row 20 is significant, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're way back there. And to our horror, one of the women that we went with decided to start doing interpretive dances to the songs that they were listening to. So the song Wooden Ships, you know, she turns her back to the stage and the song, you know, with the lyrics, you know, wooden ships on the water, she's doing the water thing. And so she's staring like, kind of like she's on stage. And you're just kind of looking at her, just going like, oh, God, Deb. What? Oh, and people started throwing shit at her. Oh, and it was, no, like, so good. Oh, no. And the viciousness just. But the funny thing was they were kind of old, bald hippies yelling at her, like, sit the fuck down. And they're throwing stuff at her. And she just, like, she just burst her bubble. And she just kind of sat down crushed, which was a secret joy of mine. And then and then while we're sitting there, then our other friends are up on aisle 5 and they call us on the cell phone and they're like, whoa, the woman next to us just got sick and barfed over everybody in front of them. And they're cleaning it right now, but these people had just basically said, we're going home. Because yeah. They're covered in vomit.
Oh, my God.
And so she goes, she tells us, she says, if you're pretty quick about it, you can get down here and get down to aisle 5.
Yeah.
Because they're doing the disinfectant.
Yeah. Oh,
so we got down there and, you know, thanks to, yeah, that enchilada dinner that she had prior.
Yeah.
There was a big clearing.
Must have been from Casa Bonita or something.
Yeah, must, yeah, right. Yeah, back in his original incarnation. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So wow. It was one of those weird concerts where I don't remember anything about the music, but I just remember those those moments.
Oh, man. Those are wild hilarious. Stories. Man, anything can happen at Red Rocks, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, those are some fun stories. Let's dive into the music. Sergio, what do we have up first?
So up first is the song that John picked, and it's called KD and Lunch Meat by Boy Golden.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So you can either, like, give us a little tidbit before we listen. We can just dive right in, and then you can say a little spiel afterwards if you want. It's up to you.
I'm just going to have you dive into this one because the title is not very revealing, is it?
Yeah, no.
Might be lunch meat. All right.
I'm feeling ever get stuck in your acting nonchalant. But babe, I know you're stressed, and yes, I am.
There you go. I heard that on the Colorado Sound when I was just driving, and it was one of those sort of catch the moment, and it just made me laugh. It just made me happy. I just felt, I had no idea where the song was going. I've never heard of this guy, Boy Golden. And it's one of those things you hear in the car and you try to like Shazam it or something, like, what is this song? But then your Bluetooth takes over and it turns the radio off and it says listening and it's all quiet. And so it took me about 10 days to find out who did that song. And when I reached, then I found out the title was KD and Lunch Meat, and I didn't remember the lyrics very well, but then I thought that, nah, that's pretty cool too, because I thought of two characters named KD and Lunch Meat. And Lunch Meat, I just think, it's a silly combination of words. It's just funny. Yeah. Lunch meat makes me laugh.
It's a silly food.
But yeah. It is. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Lunchable.
And I just found out. Then I was like, well, what is KD? And I did a little research prior to this. Mm-hmm. Dug deep.
Good job.
Kraft Dinner.
Kraft oh, my
dinner.
Gosh.
Kraft Dinner. Okay. And this guy is from the middle of, like, the plains of Canada.
Yeah.
From Edmonton, I think. And he is just got a huge mullet. He probably weighs about 120 pounds. And, he's been kind of doing festivals. I put him on Instagram and stuff. I'm kind of been following him. But I just thought it was kind of the perfect, warm, sunny day song, just to kick back, relax, and unwind to.
Yeah, I got the same feeling. Like, I could see myself sitting on the back porch drinking a beverage, probably a beer, and like listening to this, and the sun's out and maybe there's like a light breeze. I also just think, like, the lyrics of the song too, like, we've all, I hope, at some point in our lives have like done that, or at least maybe have aspired to do something like that, where you're just like, fuck it, we got a couple $100. Let's just quit our job and get high and just do some fun stuff for a little while, right? Like, I think we've all either been there or wanted to be there, or either it's like a fantasy or it's you can actually relate to it. And I think I think sometimes when you're in the moment, when you're actually living that life, it's maybe not as great. This is a romanticized version of it, but yeah. But it does have that like kind of fairy tale aspect to that life, where it's like, I don't have care in the world, man. I can just sit on the couch, take some acid, and ride until like whatever. I got some Dire Straits vibes at the beginning. Oh. I don't know if it was like the vocals or what, but at first I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. It kind of faded as the song went on, but that was kind of what I was getting at the very outset of it. I really liked it. Definitely could hear that. Like, it made, when you said Colorado Sound, I was like, oh yeah, I could hear them playing this for sure.
Yeah.
But I love it. I think it's a good time. I'd be interested to kind of hear what his other stuff sounds like, if it's like similar vibe or
I listened to it. It wasn't very sticky.
Yeah,
it's kind of like hope he finds it.
Yeah,
but hope he does more good stuff.
Yeah
I definitely want to listen to more. I got feelings of like California surfer rock. Like I got transported to like listening to this on like in a car, like driving to the beach or like at the beach, just like chilling, smoking or whatever, you know, having fun and stuff. And yeah, this is like a fun summer song.
Yeah.
I think it's perfect for hopefully this summer.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect timing. Yeah. Like right on the cusp where everybody's just so excited. Like, oh, it's almost here.
Yeah.
Good song.
Yeah. So you said he's from Canada, Edmonton-ish. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it just him? Does he like have a group? Do you know?
Yeah. Or? No, he has a group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and a very amateurish music video to go with it.
Oh, nice.
But I think this song has really carried him pretty far. He's
he's
opened up for some, fairly larger bands and stuff. So but that's always cool too, I think, when you find somebody new.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's cool to also hear, well, it's this, somebody's got something new that you really like.
Yeah.
But also just a new voice. And I love Dire Straits too, but it didn't sound like anything to me. It sounded a little different.
Cool.
Awesome. Anything? Great song.
Yeah, right, thanks. Song.
I'm gonna add this to my liked songs.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice first appearance. Well done, Ricky.
High bar, John.
All right, what's next, Sergio?
All right, the next song was picked by me. I will not talk before we listen to the song. Commentary will come after. This name of the song is called Rico Suave by Gerardo.
Wow.
Rico, suave, rico, suave.
Seguro que han oído que yo soy educado, soy un caballerito, un chico bien portado, un joven responsable y siempre bien vestido. Yo no sé quién ha mentido. I don't drink or smoke and into dope, but I know coke. You ask me how do I do it, I cope. My only addiction has to do with a female species. I eat them raw like sushi. No me gusta enterno, mi estilo es moderno. Si me enterno, yo me enfermo. Mi apariencia es dura, vivo en la locura. No me vengan con tenuras. So please don't judge a book by its cover. There's more to being a Latin lover. You gotta know how to deal with a woman that won't let go. The price you pay for being a gigolo.
Rico. Suave, rico, suave.
I bet it's not a woman that can handle a man like me. That's why I juggle two or three. I ain't wanna commit, you can omit that bit. You pop the question, that's it. A ver, un, dos, tres, cuatro mujeres. Y la situación ahí no muere, no es un delito. Calmo mi apetito. ¿Cómo
un llanto, un grito. So again, don't let my lyrics mislead ya. I don't love ya, but I need ya. Would you rather have me lie, take a piece of your pie, and say bye, or be honest and rub your thighs?
Rico. Suave. Rico. Suave.
Well, it's 10 o'clock and I'm 2 hours late. I never said I was a prime date, but you kept persisting that I meet your parents. They're gonna love my appearance. Suena, tu madre abre, que vieja más buena. Le digo hola, pero no me para bola. ¿Qué se ha creído, vieja chola? ¿Cómo serve the food, mom? Que tengo hambre. If you don't hurry, me va a dar un calambre. Y usted, señor, what's your chin on the floor? Cierra la boca, por favor. What's this, amor? These little huevos. Esto sí que yo no pruebo. I'm used to good old-fashioned, home-style Spanish cooking. If I try that, I'll be puking. Well, it's been a pleasure, but we got to go. Regresaremos temprano. 5, 6 or 7 de la mañana. Su hija está en buenas manos.
Rico. Suave. Rico. Suave.
So that was Rico Suave by Gerardo, or Gerardo, however you want to pronounce it. I heard this song for the first time over the weekend, and then I spent a lot of time listening to all his music, which is absolutely ridiculous. So a little bit about Gerardo. So he was born in 1965. He's Ecuadorian born. And he moved to Glendale, California when he was 12. He was based in L.A., and he became known for his bandana, skin-tight jeans, locking, and shirtless torso. And he sometimes refers to himself as the Latin Elvis or the Latin Frank Sinatra. He appeared in some, like, random, like, shows and stuff. But this was his hit single, which appeared on his 1991 debut album, Mo Ritmo. His album peaked as number 36 on the Billboard 200 chart in June of 1991, and the single had peaked at number 7. So this song ranks number 100 on VH1's 100 Greatest Songs of the 90s, and also number 9 on VH1's 100 Greatest One-Hit Wonders. But it also ranked at number 37 on Blender's list of 50 Worst Songs Ever. that was the song.
Wow.
Yeah, that took me back. I feel like it's one of those – it's funny because I don't think I've listened to that song as an adult. I feel like
I listened. Oh, you knew about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's always kind of been like a meme song to me. Like, it's like, ah, Rico Suave. Like, it's, I don't know. But I heard it a lot as a child. Being a child of the 90s, I feel like I heard it a lot. But I never listened to it closely. One, I wouldn't have understood what any of the Spanish meant as a young kid anyway. But also, I probably shouldn't have been listening that closely to the lyrics at that age, honestly. So I was definitely like, when you said that was the song you picked, it was like my first reaction was like, oh, nostalgia, like my childhood, this kind of music, right? And then when I was listening to it, I was like, oh, I did not like ever really listen to these lyrics. And it's like everything that's like terrible about like men doing this kind of music in the 90s. And it's like, oh God, like, just, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think this song could get
objectification of women today. Yeah. Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's the 90s. Yeah. So, and it makes, I didn't know anything about him. California makes sense. It sort of fits into that vibe of like 80s, 90s, like music that was coming out of there. But yeah, I mean, I just have flashbacks to like little kid hip hop class when I was in the 90s, which is like, oh God, was I like dancing? I hope I was not dancing. But yeah, it's a jam.
Wow. Yeah, I hadn't heard it.
No, oh, really?
Never heard it.
Wow.
I assumed it was new. It's like, wow.
I watched a lot of VH1, so maybe that's why, since it's on all those
times. I mean, I never heard it when I was like,
really?
Young either. Yeah. Oh,
that's so interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Kind of funny. Kind of funny the way something could be out there, be that big, and then come back. And where did you hear it?
Yeah, that was my question too.
With some friends over the weekend, we ended up watching just a bunch of music videos. And he was like, have you seen this music video of this song called Rico? I'm like, no, what is this? And then he played it. I was like, what is a song? And then I just like went on a deep dive and, you know, listened to most of his albums, which are, you know, pretty ridiculous. The funny thing is he's now a pastor.
Wow.
And he lives in Kentucky, and his wife is like, was crowned Miss West Virginia. And one of his daughters was Miss California 2016. Like just really random. Wow. Yeah. Now he's a pastor.
Does he still make music?
No,
like
not
religious
anymore.
Music?
No.
You could just see him out
I don't
there
think he can.
Pulpit, you know.
Rico.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
No, that took me. I also felt another summer song.
Yeah.
It did feel
totally.
Like totally. Open windows and cars on beaches. I felt the California in that song for sure.
Yeah.
And it was also very cinematic, don't you think? I mean, I could see how you would cut that music video together. And I don't know. So you saw the music video?
Yeah.
When he does the Rico Suave, do they do this extreme close up with his lips almost on the lens?
Or is he doing like body waves?
I'm trying to remember. I don't think he's doing body waves.
Okay.
I think he's like wearing like a leather jacket. He's like Rico Suave.
Okay. Yeah. I could just see all of a sudden just that cut right up there.
Maybe we got to redo a music video or something.
Then we got to do it. Yeah, we'll pitch it to him. Yeah, and in some ways, I don't know why, but Gogol Bordello.
Okay.
Do you know, I thought just as far as the storytelling, the one man on this stage kind of just running the show. And I was just really picturing him singing and, you know, trilling his R's and just the, and the music and yeah, no, it was very catchy. No, I liked it.
Yeah, it makes sense that it was like a top one hit wonder or whatever, because like it has that vibe of like that era. Like I was reminded when you were reading that list, I was thinking of like Baby Got Back. It was like that's what I was thinking of, like middle school dances, the songs that they would play that were really inappropriate of that era, but like they never. I don't think Sir Mix-a-Lot had anything else other than that. Maybe he did, and I just don't know. But like. I'm not saying they're the same song, but it was like kind of that similar vibe of like telling a story and it's like got that beat and it's a one hit wonder and it's sort of catching like a moment in time or a moment in music time. Yeah. But yeah, that was That was a throwback for me.
I just heard this for the first time.
I love it. I think that's so great.
I also like, I love the, like him going back and forth, like English, Spanish or Spanish, English.
Yeah.
You don't see, you don't hear that often anymore nowadays. Like it's kind of rare. There's some like underground, I don't know, maybe not underground hip hop groups anymore. Like Immortal Technique does like Spanish, English rap. You know, but I don't know. I always like it when they can seamlessly blend the two together and like still continue it. I think it's a pretty unique skill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Seamlessly blending. Because Sergio, you and I were sort of having a conversation about this a couple of days ago about how in like the 90s, especially like the late 90s and early 2000s, like Latin music had this sort of like big boom. And it was a lot of like Spanish and English in the songs. Like that's when like Enrique and Shakira and all these, you know, folks like were really kind of like climbing the charts, right? But I know some of those are both English and Spanish, but I don't know if they are as seamless, right? As like some of, as like this example, right? But yeah, it was definitely like, this would have been like way before that, but it's certainly like a precursor to that ramp up.
Absolutely.
And just the seamlessness being living in Los Angeles, English, Spanish,
probably
just what you do.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Just, you know, the words you use.
Reflective of the culture. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Good point.
So. Man, I don't know if anybody's ever like analyzed Rico Suave that much before. I think this is great. I love it. Love it.
Well, the next and final song is called Hopeless Nostalgic. By Savoir Faire, and Melanie chose the song.
Yeah, I won't lead into it. You can just go ahead and play it and we'll chat after.
All right.
I made a house out of ripples. Locked myself in there, why should I care? Put the needle down, got lost in the sound, cause I'm reckless. Or I'm a hopeless nostalgic, yes. Melancholy. It's snagged in lives that I've had. In this heart of mine, there's a loose panel that lets in the hopeless nostalgia. Things fester. Raising girls don't know how to let go. So I'll let my heart be sequestered by a hopeless nostalgic. I'm aware.
This vessel's not mine, it's to space and to time. So wait, I'll leave the pieces down all around town, 'cause I'm reckless. I guess I'm a hopeless nostalgic. 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 I guess I'm a hopeless nostalgic.
All right. Yeah. So that's actually, that's a hot, fresh single. Just came out last Thursday, Friday, ooh, I think. So it's like hot off the presses.
It's an AC in here. It's toasty.
So that's why, that was part of the reason why I brought it, is because I literally, it's what I've been listening to this week, because I have been, you know, listening to it the last couple of days since it came out. Full disclosure, I do know this artist. I'm hoping that doesn't sway your opinions, but I just wanted to put that out there so that there's the disclaimer. But Savoir Frere is based in Boston. What I really love about this song is, I know we used this word already today, but cinematic was actually the first thing that came to mind when I listened to it, because I could kind of picture like almost like a music video that would be like either filmed with, I'm not a film person, so I'm going to lean on you guys here, but like when it's like sepia, old timey, yeah, with like the shutter speed is slower kind of a thing. That's sort of what I'm picturing. Like
not digital, just total film look.
Yeah.
Film grain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it almost has this kind of like underwater sound. Like it's almost like it kind of sounds like that the way it was recorded, which to me like also kind of sounds like it's almost like it's a dreamscape kind of. And so when you're thinking about being, you know, nostalgic and kind of thinking back in those memories, it's almost like it's musically representing of like your brain going back in time and thinking about that. And I just thought that was one thing that I really loved about it. And also because, you know, this artist she's a guitar player. So she, you know, a lot of times in her songs, there's a lot of emphasis on the guitar, and there's certainly guitar in this, but it's not like, you know, there's not these long like solos and runs and stuff like that. So it feels a little bit different maybe than some of the other stuff that I've heard before. And the ending to me was just like Fiona Apple vibes, which I loved. but that was something that I kind of heard, and I hear it sort of in the rest of the song too. But the ending in particular, for some reason, is really hit me with that. Yeah, I think that was everything I had planned to say.
Yeah, it felt dreamy. Like it felt like I was in a dream. And I think now that you said like underwater, like, yeah, it was like kind of muted. Yeah, muted. It was muted. Mm-hmm. It sounded muted to me. Mm-hmm. But what would you consider? Is this like considered jazz?
So it's usually just, it sort of straddles a few genres. I think it's noir jazz and noir rock is what it's been described
noir
as.
Jazz.
And like noir and retro rock and noir rock is like, those are the sort of descriptors that have been used. And a lot of her songs do kind of have a lot of jazz influence in them. So there's definitely some there. Some are jazzier than others, but the noir aspect to it definitely is one that I would apply to a lot of the music that she makes.
Yeah, this is not an LA beach song.
No.
No, it's not at all. I definitely felt night.
Yeah.
I felt night, rainy.
Mm-hmm.
I felt cigarettes, smoky rooms, I liked it. It was, I totally didn't know where it was going. And then I felt that background instrumentation where they actually change the timing on things. They're just like, it's like slowed it down mm-hmm. and stuff. I was like, well, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some of the stuff that was a little resonant, I thought, of K.D. Lang, mm-hmm. like a piece. And I think the end was total Elvis.
Mm, yeah, the, yeah, I could hear that too. Yeah,
just that
yeah.
Elvis at the end for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. I was thinking like if this was, you know, the love child of K.D. Lang and Elvis. So if your friend wants to take that, that's okay. yeah, it didn't. You know, it didn't bore me at all. Mm-hmm. You know, some songs that get kind of repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel. It was telling a story. Wasn't able to pick it all up first. You never do the first time. You're getting mm-hmm. pieces of it, but just the whole vibe, and you know it. I could definitely see, you know, just hanging out at night listening to that. And
yeah. I think one thing that I do like about her music too is that it is so different. To your point, like it's, which you know. Doesn't work for everybody, right? Like some people, when they listen to something, they want to hear something that's like kind of familiar and that they can sort of latch on to. For me, I get really excited when I hear something that's, you know, totally different from anything that I've either been listening to or have listened to before. And I think this definitely sounds very different than than a lot of the music that, you know, you hear on the radio or that I was, you know, even listening to like just on my shuffle, right? So I like adding it too because it's a, you know, something else that's really unique.
Yeah. I'd say it was like, I'm going to steal noir because I, mm-hmm. I never thought to describe music as noir-ish.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'll say like noir speakeasy vibes.
Yeah.
Because it was like smoky and like sultry. And I was like, okay, I could envision myself like listening to this live and like be in the zone and. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. It was
melancholy.
Different. Yes.
There's a lot of melancholy hanging in there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm
good
glad.
Pick. Good
yeah,
pick.
I'm glad I got to bring it because, you know, I haven't, you know, brought anything of like anybody that I know. And I thought it was kind of cool to do that. So thanks for letting me do that.
No.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, that was good. It's a good choice.
Is she like that? What is she like as a person?
Oh, I don't know. What if she watches this?
I just wonder if she's moody.
Melancholy is a very good way to describe. I think a lot of her music, it has that. It's funny that this one's actually got nostalgia in the term, but it's, a lot of it is very kind of nostalgic, sort of harkens back to another time, an older time. But a lot of her lyrics and the topics sort of speak to more timely, like political women's rights, things like that, that we would sort of hear in the news today. So it's a lot more topical. Like it's almost like this juxtaposition of kind of older genres and styles of music with more kind of modern commentary on things, which is kind of interesting, which is her in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that's interesting when the nostalgic thing, I don't know, but I also saw classic old cars.
Yeah.
In my head, I did feel.
Yeah.
I felt like old Chicago or old, you know,
that's
just
very much her
50s sort of vibe.
Yeah.
But not 50, not music wise, but it evoked those images in my head.
Yeah. I think, and another reason why it kind of spoke to me, this song in particular, and, you know, also, you know, probably something we connect on to the two of us is just wanting, like, we just don't feel, like we have a place in like the modern world. Like both of us are very like it, you know, we like old technology. We don't, you know, we're not super into social media, like all that kind of stuff. I mean, she is for her music, obviously, but it's like, you know, we're all kind of like those old souls, as people say, and we're like almost nostalgic for times that we weren't even alive for. And it was just kind of interesting kind of listening to that, like in music form, but yeah.
And the title, was it Saccharine Nostalgia?
It's not pointless. Oh, no. Not pointless nostalgic, because that's another song. Hopeless nostalgic. Pointless nostalgic is a Jamie Cullum song, and I almost called it that. Yeah, hopeless nostalgic.
Did she use the word saccharine
yeah.
in there?
Yes, yeah. yeah okay. I forget what the lyric is, but mm-hmm. yeah, she definitely says okay. saccharine in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a false sweetness.
Yeah.
yeah. I feel like I could see this in, you ever see that movie Sin City?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
You know,
I feel like this would work well in like a movie like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just kind of got those vibes. Good cool. song.
All righty. Any other closing thoughts before we wrap up?
Closing thoughts.
Good choices today.
Yeah.
Good variety.
Artists. Yes.
I can't imagine this as if, you know, you had this group and you meet and somebody brings in a song that just being overplayed like hell on the radio. They're just like the one
I'm
song
that
you you know the buttons that on your you just like you yeah, know you hit number three it. Is you hear the first two chords and you're like no
yeah
and you change it to like a Tom Shane ad and then somebody brings it in and you have to listen to it and just be like and you stare at them you just give them just mean eyes during the whole time you're listening
how
to this
you do this.
Or, since it's on film, you could just take your headset off.
And throw it down. In just like throw a it rage. Down.
And stare like this.
In a rage.
That would be fun to do to some unsuspecting member that shows up to this forum.
You could come in next week. Come yeah. next time.
Next new person.
Pick a top 100 yeah, song.
There you go. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. Don't forget, if you have music that you want us to listen to on this podcast, you can leave us a comment on the YouTube comments below the video. You can also email us. Sergio, what's the email?
hello@longmontpublicmedia.org.
Thank you, yeah. And you can also tune in to replays of this podcast on LPMX, the Longmont Public Media online radio station, which is lpmx.com. No, lpmxradio.com?
Correct.
Yeah, lpmxradio.com. Sorry, I should know that. Yeah, and don't forget, like, subscribe, leave comments, let us know what you think. And yeah, thanks everyone for coming down and tuning in.
Rico.